Had a faculty meeting. I don't know if y'all, I mean, some of y'all, Hayden, you probably, Hayden was there. He's given his normal dynamic lecture to the teachers about teaching and all of that. And all of a sudden, an angel appeared during, Cater, you were probably there too. There, during the faculty meeting, this angel appeared. And the angel said, Glenn, for your unselfish and exemplary behavior. Well, we know that's true. The Lord is going to reward you with one of three gifts: infinite wealth, wisdom, or beauty. Well, obviously the last one was out, because look at Glenn. He's so beautiful anyway. But without hesitating, Glenn selected infinite wisdom. And lightning struck, and the angel said, all right, and he left in a cloud of smoke. And everybody looked at Glenn. All the teachers looked at Glenn, because now, you know, Glenn has infinite wisdom, you know. And they're all looking at Glenn, and he just stands, sits there, and he's kind of surrounded by this glow, high-pro glow, and he doesn't say anything. Finally, Hayden says, Glenn, say something. And he looks at me and he said, I should have took the money. I don't know. You know, sometimes that's worldly wisdom, to take the money, you know. What does it mean to be wise? I want us to think about that this morning, because it's an important thing. We've all heard, telling my age here, but how many of y'all have heard somebody called a wise guy? Say, oh, you're such a wise guy. What does that mean? Does that mean you're real smart? It means you got a smart mouth, doesn't it? You know. That's not what the Bible talks about you, you know. My mind? What's wrong with it? It is. That one works. This one does. The green light's on. Now, I'm barely getting heartbeat here. All right. I love technology. There we go. Is that better? And here, I'll just stay here. How about that? All right, we're talking about wisdom. The Bible, when it talks about being a wise man, doesn't mean a wise guy. Proverbs 1:5 tells us what the Bible considers to be wise. It says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. And this morning we want to think about some wise men. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, it's Christmas, he's going to preach on the wise men. Well, I am, but these may not be the guys you think I'm getting ready to speak about or preach about. These were men who were wise, but in their own time, they were looked down on by their society. These were men who were rough men. These were men who were uneducated. These were common men who probably from time to time got themselves into trouble. But they were wise men in the sense that when God spoke to them, they, number one, listened, and number two, they took action based on that knowledge. Let's read about these wise men, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds. Oh, okay, you're talking about the shepherds. We'll do the wise men next week. Shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men with whom God is pleased. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great, wonderful story that we hear every Christmas. Lord, help us to discern a truth from your word and from the story today so that we can be encouraged and that we can be wise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How is wisdom shown in this story? Well, first of all, when these wise men were confronted with the truth from the angels, it says, write this down, they were afraid. Verse 9 says, And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. Sore means very afraid. A wise person, folks, when they are confronted with God, when they are confronted with God's messengers, when they're confronted with God's words, has holy fear. Think about this. Here they are. It's a clear summer's night, out with their sheep. It's business as usual. But notice this. Suddenly, that's what lo in King James here that I read. Lo means suddenly. In fact, if you have a modern translation, that's probably what it says. Suddenly there was with the angel. I mean, with the shepherds, you know, or suddenly. Lo means all at once. Suddenly this angel appeared. Now, that would be kind of scary. Suddenly, anybody suddenly appearing, you know, kind of scares each other. You know, Denise and I are now Tara or whoever, when they're cleaning, sometimes if I happen to come up here, I'm very careful to not startle them because it's hard when suddenly somebody's there. It's kind of scary, you know. And so we made a deal. We're not going to startle each other, you know. But when it's an angel, you know, at first it's just one angel. And this angel gives them a message from God, and that's what angels are, primarily messengers for God. Sometimes the angels have to fight to get through the message. Over in Daniel, you know, the angel had to fight Satan, literally, to get through to Daniel with the message from God. Sometimes the angels come and thump you upside the head. Sometimes they come and kill you. It's in the angel of death, you know. So angels are awesome beings, and it's always kind of, it would be kind of a frightening thing to be in the presence of one. So these shepherds were wise to be afraid. They didn't know what this angel was here for. And they knew their own sin. And that's the problem. Guys, look, any of us who come in the presence of Holy God are afraid because we know we are sinners. Everybody in here is a sinner. And if God walked in the door back there, it would scare the witty-wats out of us. Why? Because we are all sinners. And that would scare us. It should. They knew they deserved death for their own sin. And folks, the first step in wisdom is realizing you're not perfect. That's the first step in wisdom. The first step in salvation is recognizing the fact that you are a sinner. You know, when I'm talking to someone about accepting Jesus and they either fail to admit they're a sinner or they make excuses for their sins, I know they are foolish. I know they are foolish. It is impossible for a fool to be saved. Not until a person takes that first step to wisdom and admit that they are not perfect, that they are a sinner. Not until that happens are they able to begin to fear God. All of this modern frou-frou about a loving God who allows you to remain a sinner and you do not have to fear God, you do not have to fear the consequences of your sin, that's silly. And it's going, I believe, to cause millions to stand before Jesus on Judgment Day. And they honestly thought they knew Jesus because of false teaching and false teachers that allowed them to continue in their sin and didn't preach the Word. They honestly thought they knew Jesus, and Jesus is going to look at them and say, "Depart from me. Depart from me. I didn't know you. Depart from me forever." My friends, fear is the beginning of wisdom. And fear is the first step to salvation. You know, we don't like it too much nowadays when people preach on hell. But wait, that's why I got saved. The preacher was up there. Man, he was preaching on hell, and I knew I didn't want to go to hell. And you might say, "Well, you were just afraid." And I'll tell you, yes, I was. I was afraid enough to go to Jesus. And I'm sorry if that offends you, but listen to me. Jesus Christ gave His life so that we don't have to fear anymore. We can go to Him for salvation. Well, these shepherds, they were wise because they were afraid. But the angel had a wonderful message. The greatest message, the greatest news that the world has ever heard. Verse 10. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." A Savior had been born. The long-awaited Messiah has come. And He is in Bethlehem. And then thousands and thousands and thousands of other angels appeared and backed up the message. Wow. You know, it's just a multitude. I began to study what that meant, and it literally meant thousands and thousands. I can just see the sky from horizon to horizon full of angels. And they were saying, and a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men with whom God is pleased." You know, they weren't singing. I don't think that's a big deal. We just got through, you know, Bradley, the hymn book says they were, so they must be. But, you know, the Bible doesn't say they are. In fact, the Greek word here, you kids are going to like this. You know what this, you kids all look at me. You know what the Greek word for what they were doing was? Lego. That's cool, isn't it? Lego. How many of y'all got Legos? So see, next time, you didn't know that was a Greek name, did you? Get some yogurt to go with it, Greek yogurt here. You know, it means to put forth or say or utter. It's a word really never used for singing. And they were backing up this first angel's message. It was the most important message in the world that the world has ever heard. There needed to be no doubt in these guys' minds. You had one guy that tells them, and then you had thousands and thousands and thousands of other angels that came and said, he's right. He's right. Praise God. He's right. He's right. So the shepherds show their wisdom, first of all, in fear, but then they begin to show their wisdom in, write this down, their belief in the message. Verse 15 says, "And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass." They didn't say might have come to pass. Let's go see it, which the Lord has made known to us. They believed this thing really had happened. It really had come to pass. There's no doubt in their minds that what the angels had told them was the truth. You know, fear of God's the beginning of wisdom, and belief in His Word is the next step. Now you say to me, Brother Alex, if a bunch of angels suddenly appeared to me, I would believe it too. I would too, you know, to be honest with you. But I say to you that God has given us His Word. The shepherds didn't have that. I mean, they had part of the Word. The Bible is more important than anything an angel can tell you. In fact, the Bible tells us even if an angel tells us something and it's a contradiction to the Word, let that angel be accursed. If we, Galatians 1:8, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. Now, there is some controversy about that verse because pastors in that time were called angels. They were called angels. Of course, you all have an angel, but you know what I'm talking about. They were called angels. So Paul is probably saying, if another preacher tells you something contrary to what I have told you, let that preacher be run off and accursed, okay? But it also can apply to celestial angels because there are celestial angels that are called demons who will also come along and give you false information. Some of these TV shows about angels, I believe, are satanic in the extreme. Even if they are uplifting, even if they make you feel good, Satan doesn't mind you feeling good, y'all. He really doesn't. He would like for you to feel good. And some of these false teachers out there, you know, that's why they get so many people to come, because they say, come to us and you'll feel good. Come to us and you'll feel good. Come to us and you'll feel good. When the Bible says, take up your cross. It's a little different than taking up your cross and coming to us and feeling good. Satan doesn't mind you feeling good. Now, don't get me wrong. There are great many times that you feel good when you're serving the Lord. Okay? I'm not saying that you never feel good when you serve the Lord, but that shouldn't be your motivation. Your motivation should be to serve the Lord, you know. He doesn't mind you feeling good as long as he can sidetrack you away from looking to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. These shepherds, they didn't have a Bible though, so God sent holy messengers, And the problem about holy messengers like angels is this. Look at verse 15. I'm going to show you the problem with these holy messengers and angels. Verse 15. And it came to pass the angels were gone away. They left. Right? This is here to stay. You know, I don't have to worry about an angel coming down and seeing me, Peggy, every day. I got this. I got the Word of God. I don't have to worry about some kind of spiritual head thing going on in my head. I have the Word of God. I may be totally feeling unspiritual that day. That's okay. I got the Word of God. I may be totally away from God, and God couldn't speak to me spiritually if He wanted to, but I still have the Word of God, and if I study the Word of God, it can turn all of that around. Now, I do know God does send angels, okay? I don't know that He does it as much now because we have the Word of God, but I'm sure He probably does. You know, these shepherds didn't have that. The great thing about the Bible is you've always got it with you. And if you're wise, you will believe it. Finally, these angels showed that they were wise, write this down, by taking action on the knowledge they had received from God. Verse 16 says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. There are all sorts of people, folks, who come to church and they hear the Word taught, and they hear the Word preached, and they're not very wise people. Even though they come to church, and they go to hear Beth Moore, and they go to hear Max Lucado, and they go hear all these famous people, and they go to watch all this stuff on TV, and all of that, they're not very wise people, regardless of all the knowledge they have. Because they leave church and take absolutely no actions based on the truth they have heard from the Word of God. They are ignorant babies who probably are not even saved. And my concern is, in the modern church, how many unsaved members there are. And we know that because very few modern church members take whatever it is they got out of church anywhere else. They are people who selfishly come to church for what they can get rather than what they can give. Some people, even though they profess to be wise, are fools. And I don't really say that. The Bible in Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, they became fools. They change and they twist the Word of God so that it'll be comfortable rather than profitable, and they can sit and really do nothing. But wise men and wise women study the Word and act on the Word. And that's what these wise men did. What did they do? It says they went with haste. They did not sit around and have a theological discussion about it. They didn't have a committee meeting. They talked about it. You need to do that, by the way. Nothing wrong with having a meeting, you know, before you just jump up and go do something. But they talked about it and they took action. Now I'm going to ask you a question. And this is an important question that we need to consider. What about the sheep? What about the sheep? Think about that. Verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. What about the sheep? Now, it's a summer night, and the sheep were either out. We know that because they're keeping watch over their flock by night in the field. And they are either out grazing or they're in the sheep cote, which is kind of a pen. In any case, they had to be kept watch over. Now, what about the sheep? It was the job of the shepherds to watch the sheep. They'd probably gone to the local community college, Kyle, and, in the VOTEC program on sheep watching and gotten their certification. I don't know. Or maybe they did an internship on sheep watching. Maybe their dads taught them. I don't know. You know. But they, in any case, one of the primary rules of shepherding was this: stay with the sheep. Now, when I was a kid, I had this little golden book. How many of y'all know what those are, little golden books? Some of you, Jay, some of you know, we own up there. We know what little golden books are. They're golden because the little edge of them is gold. Actually, it's silver. I never figured that out. They call them golden books, but the little edges are silver. But anyway, I asked my mama that, and she said, shut up. I had a little golden book, and it explained it. It said the shepherd went to see the baby Jesus, but they left the little shepherd boy by the name of Toby there to watch the sheep. Toby. So I thought, you know, that's what happened. There was a little shepherd boy, Toby, watching the sheep. So when I got up here to French camp and Ralph Newman's teaching New Testament, I raised my hand, and we were studying this, and I said, what about Toby? You know, Ralph, he looked at me like, you know, Ralph, says, what are you talking about? I said, Toby, the shepherd. He just, you know, sent me to see Sam Allen. But anyway, you know, so then I got on to say, I thought, well, Ralph doesn't know anything. He's just a high school teacher. So I got to college, and I asked Dr. Stewart. I said, Dr. Stewart, what about Toby, the shepherd? And he says, pardon me, what are you talking about, you know? Well, when I got to seminary, Wade, I knew better than to ask about Toby the shepherd, because I had figured out that golden book didn't know what in the world it was talking about, that there was no Toby, and nobody stayed with the sheep. There is no mention of anyone staying with the sheep. In fact, it indicates they all went. What about the sheep? They left the sheep. And what does this teach us? It teaches us this: Jesus is more important. What is Jesus more important than? He's more important than your job. You know, he's more important than your money. He's more important than your possessions. Jesus is more important than your education. Jesus is more important than your family. And you say, well, no, he's not. Well, folks, I'm not the one saying that. Jesus later said it himself. In Luke 14:26, he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Is that pretty clear? And then on down in 33, it says, then none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. Is that clear? Over in Matthew 19:21, Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And I could go on and on and on, but let me just tell you, he is making a point there. Jesus is, following God is more important than anything else. Does that mean you're supposed to desert your family? Of course not. But he wants you to understand, following the Lord is most important. These shepherds knew Jesus was more important, so they left their job, they left their sheep, and they went and followed and looked for Jesus. Wise people fear God, believe in God, and follow God regardless of the cost. What about the results? Verse 18. And all that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. All who heard about it, the shepherds told the story, and all who heard about it wondered. That means literally admired. In other words, they were drawn to God by the story. In fact, these shepherds went and shared their testimony. That's what they did. And then we see Mary. Mary was encouraged. Notice that she kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, pondered means to consider mentally. Now, Mary had had a rough night.
You know, ladies, how would you like to have a baby in a barn with a bunch of animals and their poop and your husband delivering the baby? How many of y'all would like that? Nobody. No hands at all. It was not a sweet little Christmas card scene. It was dark. It was stinky. It was unsanitary. It was a gross place to have a baby. But then she heard the message of the shepherds, and it was encouraging. And the shepherds returned from their mission trip doing what? They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and it was told, as it was told to them. Now, folks, this is what wise men, they were happy. They were joyful. And this is what wise men and women always find, joy. These guys feared God. These guys listened to God. These guys responded to the message by taking action. So I want to ask you this, and to bring it home here, how wise are you? Here's God's message to you this morning. And as I told you early, in the early church, pastors were called angels because they were messengers from God. So in a sense, I really am an angel. And by the way, it's not because of anything I say. It's because of what God says that makes me an angel. And the pictures you see of angels are not real. They're not real, any more than the pictures you see of Jesus are not real. They're not really Jesus. I mean, Jesus probably wasn't blonde-headed and looked like, you know, some movie star. The Bible says he was ugly in Isaiah. Isaiah says he's ugly, you know. I don't think when you looked into his face, you would see the ugliness, but in a worldly sense, he wasn't anything like those pictures. And I don't think angels, really, it's like artist idea of what it might have been like. So anyway, I'm your angel today. And if you're wise, you're going to hear this word from God that I'm getting ready to give you. Here it is. This is from the Bible. That is the word of God. It is Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. That's the message from God to you. The wages of sin is death. You should fear this. You should fear this. If you do not know Jesus, this is talking about eternal hell. This is talking about eternal separation from God. This is talking about the fact that once you die, there's no hope for you anymore. You will go to hell and you will stay there and you will burn and be miserable forever and ever with no chance to be saved. But even if you know Jesus, you should fear sin. A wise Christian should fear sin. Sin still kills. Sin kills relationships. Sin kills your body. Its wages is still death. Maybe not for the Christian eternal hell, but it still causes death. We need to fear it. But the message I have for you does not end with that. The wages of sin is death. The second part of that verse says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. A wise person fears God, but a wise person also hears the message and believes. Then, like the shepherds did, a wise person responds or takes action on those beliefs. These shepherds left their sheep. They forsook the world that they were used to being in and came to Jesus. And my challenge and my question to you is, will you? You know, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary because all of us have sinned. And Jesus Christ paid for that sin on the cross of Calvary. And it's real. It's a real thing. And you must come to the point where you recognize your sin and come to the point where you're willing to act on that knowledge by forsaking that sin and looking to Jesus for salvation. And if you believe in Him and you call upon Him, then He will save you. It's a free gift. There's not anything you can do to earn that. Be wise. Come to Jesus today for salvation. And Christian, I want you to think about being wise and coming to Jesus in repentance. Forsake that sin. Forsake the world. Surrender to Him. Does this mean you got to go to Africa as a missionary? Possibly. I'm not going to stand up here and say, oh no, it doesn't mean you have to go to Africa as a missionary. Because it might mean that. And if it does, you go. That's not what it meant for the shepherds. Verse 20, they returned. Returned where? To the sheep! They went back to the sheep, and it doesn't say that, you know, Toby was there to greet them, but, you know, the point is, I think the sheep were fine. I think they were fine. I think God watched over the sheep, and God watched over your family. If God leads you away from your family, Bradley, God will watch over your family for you. You know, it's not going to be a matter of, if I leave my family, something could happen to them. And that's not the way God works. If God calls you to go be a missionary, or God calls you to move to Alabama or whatever, God's going to take care of you and your family when He tells you to do that. The problem is when you don't obey Him, then you're in a big, big mess, you know. They returned to their sheep. They were not the same old rough sinners. They were changed men, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. If you surrender to God, you will return to your home, you will return to your job and your school, and you will be a different person too. So be a wise man and woman today. Write this in. Fear God. Believe God's message, the message for the wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. And finally, act on that message by surrendering your life to Him. And that may mean coming down here to the front. We don't like to do that. You know, I've been coming to church here for 40 years. Everybody thinks I'm saved. And if I start come down there, everybody's going to laugh at me. There isn't anybody going to laugh at anybody that comes down here to get saved. I promise you that. Or you can come down here and repent. You don't have to come tell me your deep, dark sin. Come down here and tell it to the Lord. But by stepping out, you are following the Lord. Act. Surrender to Him. Be wise. Like the shepherds. Let's pray. Father.